This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
From the New England Patriots, he is Matthew Judon. What is your take on this Chicago Bears offense?
They have one of the top running games in the league.
Montgomery powers in!
And then they also have a quarterback that has learned that.
Keeper Fields for the touchdown!
No, I don't see that.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NBC Sports Patriots insider Tom Curran. Colts writer for The Athletic, Zach Kiefer. Coming up from Cobra Kai and author of the new book, Waxing On, Ralph Macchio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of The Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great conversations about the two quarterback. I mean, you call them controversies in New England. I mean, you got a guy in Bill Belichick who puts velvet ropes around so-called controversies that would normally break up another team or disrupt another team's locker room. He just takes the oxygen straight out of everything. Tom Curran was on in hour number one and basically said it's probably going to be Mac Jones on Sunday against the Jets, and it'll be Mac for the rest of the year. And we'll see what you have in Zappy sometime next summer. Okay. Last night was just so wild that it was like, Mac's back. You had your Mac to the Future shirt on. Mac's back.
I was pumped.
Mac's back. And he's out there and he's running for first downs and he's looking pretty good. And then he throws an interception. And then all of a sudden, Zappy's coming in. And because you heard all the people in the stands screaming for Zappy, like, he's Brady.
For real.
I mean, seriously, like, Mac Jones last year never happened. And Twitter's blowing up because the first two possessions are touchdowns. Patriots have the lead, and you're thinking Mac's never taking another snap for New England. And then the rest
of
it
really felt like that.
Honestly, like this is
14-10, you're like, it's the Mac Jones era is over.
I had no idea at the time that this was part of the plan, except for the fact that Schefter's retweeting his pregame tweet saying that you look for both tonight.
Right.
And it was part of the plan to have both in the game. Although, if they were playing both, the fact that you insert Zappy the minute Mac Jones throws an interception makes it look like this is
exactly
for performance.
Right.
And then, as Zappy's beginning to perform very well, and then the tide starts to turn, you're even seeing... I saw a few tweets saying that maybe Zappy could be traded by New England to some team that needs a quarterback.
Man, friends were texting me like they were like, maybe the Panthers will take Mac Jones. And I'm just like, we're trading Mac Jones now?
He went from savior to expendable in the span of like a quarter and a half. That was nuts last night. We talked about it with Tom Curran. And then it wiped completely off the map. The story about what the Colts are doing at quarterback, Matt Ryan out, Sam Ellinger in, Nick Foles elevated to number two at the position, Zach Kiefer of The Athletic, who covers the Colts and has for almost a decade, is saying, he said Matt Ryan's not going to take another snap as quarterback in Indianapolis if everyone else stays healthy.
Over.
He won't take another snap there. Wow.
That's something.
NFL stands for not for long.
Not for long.
Big time. Ralph Macchio is going to join us in about 17 minutes time.
The Russo?
Yes, sir. He's going to be joining us to talk about his book, Waxing On, The Karate Kid and Me, talking about getting the role and playing the role now 40 years later.
Crazy.
On the hit series Cobra Kai. And I asked him, and this is part of a Zoom I did after the show yesterday, you got to stay tuned for the Joe Pesci story. I'm like, give me your favorite Joe Pesci story. And he told it, and it's great. obviously from my cousin Vinny. Talked a little outsiders. We've had C. Thomas Howell and Rob Lowe on this show talked about it there. And we now have another member of that cast.
One of my favorite movies.
So he tells some good stories about that, too. So stay tuned for it. You have no choice. You're sitting right here.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Thank you very much. 844-204-RICH number to dial. We're continuing our world of having Bears fans who call in loving the team or are concerned about their team scream the word Eberflus at the top of their lungs.
Seriously, Bears fans, please call right now.
844-204-RICH.
Let's go.
Down. Got some time for your phone call.
Adam is a Bears fan. You're going to talk to him in the back.
There you go. Just call up and say Eberflus and hang up on him if that's what you'd like.
That would be amazing.
Code word Eberflus.
Prince Eberflus in a can. You didn't expect that one to come out as a little snort.
TJ, exactly.
A little snort.
I was thinking, like, instead of Fidelio, the password would be Eberflus.
Yes. You know what I mean? Is that the password to the house?
Let's take Griffin in Houston, Texas. Let's take a phone call. What's up, Griffin?
Griff.
Rich Eisen, it's nice to hear from you. I'm sorry, I couldn't help but call you Rich Eisen because I always find that story. Funny.
But that was I got that nickname in the best ball
Reach
you know a fantasy draft.
Josh Allen and Cooper Kupp, right? They're on
for
your
taking
team
Josh Allen. How long I took Josh Allen third or fourth because it would be another 12 picks till I was picking it, and I wanted to get him. I mean, it was probably 15 picks, and it was 2 hours per pick. It was probably going to be another actual calendar day till I had a shot to get him. I got him. How am I looking now?
I can't believe it's 2 hours.
Thank you, Griffin. What's on your mind?
I will say I'm not having the greatest football life right now. One, I'm a youth football coach, and we're 0-7.
Hang in there.
We got our last game coming up for Saturday, so we're trying to get our first win.
Are the kids having fun? Griffin, are the kids having fun?
Oh, my gosh, Rich. I've always wanted to be a football coach and building relationships with these sixth graders. It's been absolutely awesome.
That's it.
Amazing.
Good for you.
We'll never take that for granted. However, as a Browns fan of 20 years, I leave this to say that there's been teams who have had terrible starts. Colts in 2018, 1-5. 49ers last year, 2-4. My question to you is, do you think, despite being 2-5 on a four-game losing streak, with a 2020 Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski, could they still turn it around? That's my question for you, Rich.
They could turn it around. The true question is, will they turn it around? And I don't think they will. I think that they might finish strong, and that might be what this season's all about. And thanks for the call there, Griffin. I mean, that might be what this season's all about, is when Watson returns for them in week number, let me get this right, it'll be week 14, okay? Because they're going to have this game against Cincinnati and then four more before he returns because they have a bye. They're going to have to – or he returns in week 14, week 13 at Houston, right? That's when he returns?
Week 14.
It's week 13 for them at Houston. So once he returns there, their last six games – finishing strong so they feel good for next year. That may be what this is about, because I have a feeling Joe Burrow is going to go in the Battle of Ohio and show them what time it is.
What time is it?
Joe Burrow, by the way, our first guest on tomorrow's program.
Joe Burrow.
And then Cleveland goes on a bye. Then they're at Miami and at Buffalo before hosting Tom Brady. And then that's when Watson returns.
Watson.
They might be, 3-8 without Watson? Entirely possible they're 2-9.
Yeah.
Even if they're 4-7, can they make that run for that 7 seed? I kind of doubt it. Which brings me, how about that for a segue? I wasn't even expecting that. We were talking before the show. We were talking, Jim. Yeah. We were talking about how 7 weeks in, what could we do to talk about the NFL, and we're like, okay, 7 weeks in, which team do you think is going to wind up as the 7th seed at the end of the season? Because we're already seeing in the NFC East two teams that have records that would be leading other divisions. Not in first place, because that's where the lone remaining undefeated team entering week 8 through 7 weeks resides. So that means, barring a complete collapse, two spots are going to be taken in the playoffs by a second and third place team in one division. Can things change? Of course. I'm just talking about right now after 7 weeks. And then you look in the AFC, it's kind of wide open. When you look at the team in the best position for the wild card are my Jets, and they've won four in a row, the last three, in which Zach Wilson hasn't thrown a single touchdown pass. So you got to wonder how sustainable that is, certainly since they have now lost Breece Hall and they've lost Elijah Vera Tucker. So they lost their, by the way, best running back and best offensive lineman just like that. They did pick up James Robinson, and I love that aggressive maneuver by Joe Douglas. They went ahead, boom, right away. And don't wait. Don't wait for the trade deadline to hit next Tuesday. Get him now. Get him up to speed and throw him at Belichick, whose defense just gave up 243 rush yards. Go for it. But how sustainable is it for the Jets? I need NFL Films music, Mike Del Tufo. Through 7 weeks, Chris Brockman, I need a 7 seed from you. And it is 7 seed from you in the AFC and the NFC. And we have an actual drop for this sort of thing.
No way.
Yeah. We haven't done this segment in a while. Let's crystal ball it.
Hey.
You know, I tell you, I don't have a crystal ball. I have no idea.
That's Zimmer. It. Great drop.
That was Mike Zimmer, right?
By the way, great, great music, too.
Well done. I'm about it.
We have a crystal ball.
Let's go.
The only one in the NFL. We have it here. I think we need to go on Amazon and order one.
I'm going
to
get one, Rich.
Thank you, Mike. Are you on the crystal ball front, then?
I'm on the crystal ball. I will get the crystal ball.
Go to HR.
Yes.
And then,
accounts receivable?
Yes.
Yeah, go petty cat.
I'll find it. Bring the receipt, and you'll get
TJ's
reimbursed.
TJ's definitely not accounts receivable because Brockman didn't pay him
I'll
money.
I'll take care of it.
Okay, very good.
I've got to figure out who
it is. I'm head of HR.
The head of HR. You're first. I need a 7 seed.
Yeah,
you're first. Yeah, you're first. 7 seed for the AFC. 7 seed in the NFC, you go.
All right, I'll start in the NFC, Rich. I actually think there's not going to be a lot of shakeup. So the Rams are your current 7 seed,
yes.
But I think they're out. All 6 teams above them, I think, make the playoffs. I like San Francisco to leap up, but win the division. So my 7th seed are going to be the Seattle Seahawks.
Dude. You think Kyle Shanahan should get the can? Like, you think his hot seat should be hot?
I do.
You don't believe in him, and you think he's going to win the division?
I think in spite of him, they're going to win the division.
Okay, and so the Seahawks wind up
your
7th seed.
They have too much talent, and San Francisco's really banged up on D right now. So I think when they eventually get healthy, they're going to end up overtaking
Pete makes the playoffs.
So Pete's going to end up making the playoffs, I think.
Okay.
They're not going to ask Geno to win games, but Kenneth Walker is the real deal, so I think he's going to be in the
okay.
Now, in the AFC, I think there's going to be a lot of shakeup here. Cincinnati's currently out, but I do think they win the North. But Baltimore's also good, so I think they're good enough to be a wild card. Looking at the schedules of the remaining teams, I don't think the Jets' success is sustainable, and I don't think the Chargers, your current 7th seed, is sustainable either. They have a really tough schedule. I think Miami stays in. They're a playoff team. But I'm going to stick to my guns. I actually like the move Indianapolis is making, going to Sam Ehlinger.
Wow.
I think he can unlock that offense in ways that Matt Ryan couldn't. And I think they sneak in. I'm going Colts, 7th seed.
Look at you. Okay. So your 7th seed, you believe, when it's all said and done, making the call after week 7, Seahawks, NFC, Colts, AFC.
That's what I'm saying.
TJ, you're up now. You're on the clock.
You know, just looking at this, man, this was kind of hard to come up with, but I'm looking at the team right now that's currently 3-4, and it's not looking good. But they've got a guy at the helm who I've just seen work magic and do wonders year after year and time after time. And personally, I'm not ready to read him his last rites yet. Mm-hmm. So I figure they're going to get at least five more wins this year. Maybe 6. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
So you're taking Aaron Rodgers as the 7th seed in the NFC when it's all said and done.
How can we write this guy off, man? No matter how bad they're looking right now, and no matter, I mean, look, Brockman and I could probably at least have 2-3 catches in that wide receiver core, but I can't write this dude off. I've seen him do too much.
I got you. Okay. You know? What else you got?
And now in the AFC, again, this was tough, but you know what? There's a team that this show was really high on. Oh, let me just say someone in particular on this show was really high on the entire preseason. It's not going that well for them right now. But I'm looking at the team There's talent there. I think they're going to get it turned around. I'm going to go with the Raiders.
All right.
Wow.
TJ's the NFL Raiders. AFC 7th seed prediction. Okay.
Wow.
And I don't even know why. I just got to, sometimes, you know, head or gut. You got to reach down in your gut and go with what your gut says.
Put a pin in it. Put a pin in it, TJ. Put a pin in it. I'll tell you why. Here are my 7 seeds. I'm sticking with the Rams, your current 7 seed.
Oh, really?
I still can't quit this team. I will not quit this team. And I believe something's going to happen in the next week. I don't have any insight. Les Snead doesn't just sit on his hands when he has an opportunity to try and win something. And I think deep down, they still feel like they can win something. And they were in on McCaffrey.
They had a better offer.
They were in on McCaffrey. And I think that they're not going to sleep on what they can do over the next week. And they may even lose to the 49ers this week. And I still believe in this team. They're the defending champs. There's still some right stuff that's there on every level. They just got to get healthier up front and stop having offensive linemen carted off, man. And I am genuinely concerned about the Packers and their ability to get that 7 seed. And then in the AFC, you stole my thunder, TJ, but that is just fine. Because the autumn wind is indeed a pirate.
Okay.
And because they are 2-4 right now, I'm still seeing the stuff that I thought resided in them to cause me to choose them to win the division. That ship is now sailed, okay? That pirate ship is now completely sailed. I don't know how many mea culpas to my buddy Stone Street and Kansas City fans I can make.
Arr.
That's done. They're not catching Kansas City.
No.
But what I'm seeing, I didn't even see Josh Jacobs turning into Emmitt Smith in front of my eyes. I didn't see that one.
No.
I didn't see him turning into Zeke of Prime Zeke.
I was ready to write him off.
He has been dynamite. And we haven't even seen Darren Waller yet. Mm-hmm. I assume he still plays football in the manner that caused him to be generationally paid.
I hope so.
And I believe it. I believe in this team. I don't know why they're sending Jonathan Hankins to the Cowboys out of nowhere. Like they got defensive tackles that they could just give away.
Thank you, though.
I don't know what the hell that's all about. Not terribly pleased to hear that, but they must have their own reason. They
must know their own depth chart. Personally, though,
well,
you know?
I mean, it definitely does affect an ability to make a playoff run from 2-4, which they currently are. So, yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it. And my Jets, all they got to do is go 500, pal, for the rest of the way. Just go 5-5, and that's a 10-win season, and that should be enough to make these playoffs.
Tough schedule.
And I don't believe in the Chargers. I need to see a little bit more out of them.
They have a tough schedule, too.
So those are my 7 seeds. Good stuff, gents.
I like it.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your calls before the end of the show, but sit back and enjoy the conversation you're about to hear with the great Ralph Macchio. Some great pop culture conversation with the man who brought us all of the great times from movies to TV in The Karate Kid and now a book. What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled Jailai. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. 6-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport with its intensity and athleticism is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis with a player or team required to win 2 sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And
They'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. It's very important that you know your numbers for your business's success, certainly in times where you need the visibility and the control for your business. And there are over 31,000 businesses that have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need, all in one place. This is why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. This man's been on the show before, but in studio, he's in New York right now, where he resides. He's the pride of Huntington, New York. Ralph Macchio, the great Ralph Macchio from back in the day with Karate Kid, and now in the day with Cobra Kai. He's out with a new book, and I chatted with him on Zoom. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show is a gentleman who appeared in our studio a few years ago, and right now he is back here with a book version of the movie and the TV show that has been just terrific to remember with the movie and then relive and watch with the television show Cobra Kai. The book called Waxing On, The Karate Kid in Me is available now wherever you get your books. Ralph Macchio here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm great, Rich. Thanks for having me, man. So thanks.
We got the book, right? And why the book? Let's get that right off the bat.
Well, it was you know, I felt I had a unique story. I'm sure everyone starts this off with the same. Well, I felt I had the unique story, but I really have something with, you know, I've been asked for a couple of years now, even before Cobra Kai hit, would you ever write about the making of that film that has been so inspirational and impactful for decades and, you know, became part of pop culture and sort of a celebratory look back at the film in pop culture, my life and all that. And when, you know, Cobra Kai hit and now and then the pandemic hit, now I had, OK, what am I going to do now? You know, we're on lockdown. I started to write down chapter titles and I started to write down little paragraphs of the journey and walking in these shoes and sort of what I've gained from it through my life and what the experiences have been and the sort of behind the scenes, never been told stories of the making of How You Catch a Fly with Chopsticks or the casting of Arnold from Happy Days Now, the great Pat Morita as Mr. Miyagi. I mean, how those things came to fruition. Because when I tell those stories over a cup of coffee or at dinner, everyone just leans in. And I knew I had that. I had an interest. But what really kicked it to another level is having the relevance. So it's nostalgia and contemporary relevance at the same time. And that's quite unique. And so it's kind of only a story I could tell what it's been like walking in those shoes, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, but ultimately the embrace at the end of it of this gift that has kept on giving.
Why do you think The Karate Kid is so popular, Ralph?
Because it's a combination of things in my view. Why it works and has stood the test of time as a piece of storytelling is it works on a human level. The themes are still relatable. Mentorship, bullying, you know, fatherless teen, single parenting, moving to a new town, fish out of water, overcoming obstacles, good over evil. You could check down a bunch of boxes, and that in storytelling, those are good human relatable stories, themes. The pop culture of it all, what the internet has done, what get him a body bag means, what sweep the leg, why I hear that at every sporting event, or, you know, get him a, you know, or, you know, the wax on of it all. I mean, just the Mr. Miyagi magic of it, that secret sauce of that character, which really is the Karate Kid. Mr. Miyagi is what separates it from just another, you know, an 80s overcoming obstacle kid teen movie. That's that adds another dimension. So, I mean, it's all those pieces, I think, why it has stood the test of time. And then, of course, is the kick legal or not? You know, then it becomes something else.
We know it's not legal, Ralph. I mean, we know that kick is not a legal kick, right?
Right, right, right. Whatever it takes to continue the discussion for decades on end is what it is. I think you know, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. How did it come across your desk, your agent, your world back in the day, the script for you?
I just come off the film The Outsiders, which was a big, big break for me and a great role in a Francis Ford Coppola movie with a couple of actors that might have worked since. I'm sitting in, as I write it in the book, I'm sitting in this faux leather black beanbag chair with shag carpeting in my room, and the phone rings loud, a typical, you know, dial phone that I still had. I might have been push button by then. That's how behind the times. I pick it up and they said there's a script called The Karate Kid being made by the guy who made Rocky. The first thing I said was, Karate Kid? Is this an after school special? A cartoon? Right. What kind of title is that? Clearly one that I would be carrying for the rest of my life that I didn't know at the time. And they were sending a script to read for, I didn't know if it was the director or the casting director at that point. And, you know, then I'm on the train from Long Island on the Long Island Railroad heading to New York City to meet with John Avildsen, who directed Rocky of all movies. And my first reading with him is actually, you can see it on YouTube. He posted it years later. And it's really kind of remarkable to see Daniel LaRusso was Daniel LaRusso from Jump Street.
You know? And when did Pat Morita get hooked up?
There was more resistance. There was certainly resistance to him because of the, I think Jerry Weintraub, the late great producer, is a larger than life producer. Jerry Weintraub was like, I remember him. He was a Catskills comic. There's no way he's going to be in this picture. You know, they were looking at Toshiro Mifune or, you know, these great Akira Kurosawa, you know, Seventh Samurai actors. Because Miyagi had humor written into the role, but he also had great dramatic depth. So you wouldn't, it's amazing because there is nobody else but Pat Morita. I mean, and it was John Avildsen and his casting director that pushed for that and forced everyone to see Pat's tape. And then it was about putting us in a room together, and it was instant ease of chemistry. I don't know that's how I describe it. It really, I call Pat and his soulful magic. That's what it was when I worked with him. It sounds corny and all that other stuff, but it was just easy and natural, you know, well-written certainly. But there was just something, a little magic dust there. And it's still, you know, when I see those scenes, they still have that. You know?
Ralph Macchio here on The Rich Eisen Show. His new book, Waxing On, The Karate Kid and Me, is available now wherever you get your books. I want to rewind to our part of this conversation about The Outsiders. What in the world was that like? I mean, Francis Ford Coppola. I've spoken about this with C. Thomas Howell and also with Rob Lowe on my show. And he said that it was like a fraternity in college.
Yeah.
It was like your college years together.
Yeah.
In a way, what about your recollection of being on that set?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was the movie everyone wanted to be in, or every young actor wanted to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I read the book in seventh grade. So I, you know, it was beyond dream come true time. And obviously Coppola having seen The Godfather at that point and knowing what that was, it was like, you know, I'm at Yankee Stadium, if you will. You know, this is not an out-of-town tryout. You know, it really felt like, you know, the big time, right? And there was a competitiveness with all the guys, you know, one better looking and more athletic than the next. But I was written, you know, the character I played was kind of the runt of the litter and the lost puppy dog kind of a great character, Johnny Cade. He gets to say "Stay Gold, Pony Boy," which is, you know, when you think of some of the iconic lines from Karate Kid or even My Cousin Vinny, another one that has a couple of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really amazing. I had a few of those films that have had those great, great cinematic lines of dialogue. But working. It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which I just stopped in on the book tour. And I was actually sitting with S.E. Hinton in front of 1,200 people who came to buy the back Waxing On book and just had a nice conversation 3 days ago. So I still did like a kindred spirit with all those guys and Francis as well. There's just, it's where it started for so much of so many of us, you know. It was a everybody was very focused, and obviously with Francis at the helm, you wanted to please, you positioned yourself, you know. These are young actors, the stallions waiting to, you know, when they load those horses in before the, you know, they start the Preakness or the Kentucky Derby. That's kind of how it was on the first day of shooting, you know. I took it very seriously. If anything, I almost took it too seriously at first because I was putting so much weight in this, you know, this role that I was sure I was going to win an Oscar for. Just like, you know, you have all these dreams going forward. But it's really one that I am proud to have on the resume. That goes without saying.
Is it true you got kicked out of a hotel because you guys trashed something in the lobby?
Yeah, well, those, yeah. Listen, I'm sure this is Rob's story or Tommy's story. I was always the guy, I write this in the book. I was the guy, I think they was trying to get a t-shirt made for me that said, do not disturb. because I would always have the do not disturb. I'd have my boombox playing Blessing Springsteen or Cheap Trick. And that's what I was doing. I was just, you know, that was my thing. Like I said, I alluded to that. I took it a little too seriously at first. So I was the guy that was like just focused on the work. But we had some fun at the Tulsa Excelsior. It's now the DoubleTree. It will never be the same. But here's one little story I will give you. I was back in Tulsa a couple of years back because I always like returning there because it's really, that's where it all kind of began, you know. And I went to the DoubleTree Hotel, which was the Tulsa Excelsior, because that sixth floor, it was like me, Dylan, Cruz, Rob Lowe, Amelia. I mean, one floor. Could you imagine? You know, all basic, like double bed kind of hotel rooms. And I went and I got out the elevator and my room, the door was open and the cleaning person was cleaning the room. And I walked in there just for a second. And it was like, I mean, I didn't recognize they changed the room, but yet it felt like I'd been there before. It was really interesting. That's an exclusive. You're the first person I told that story to, but good. It was like, it was quite emotional, nostalgic in a way. So I seem to find ways of taking the nostalgia and making it contemporary. So
yes,
that's
you've
what
done
I'm doing.
You've done a great job of that. There's no question about that. And before we return to the book and obviously Cobra Kai, what's your favorite Joe Pesci story? What do you got for me? Give me one. You got one?
I got a good Joe Pesci story for you.
Okay.
I mean, I got a couple of them, but my favorite one is my wife and I are driving back. This is the first day of shooting on My Cousin Vinny. They were having a little celebration party the night before we started shooting, and we were in Georgia, and we were running a little bit late. So I was driving back and we were in this area, Monticello, Georgia. There were deer all over the place and the sun was starting to set. And I'm driving and we're behind schedule. I'm driving a turn and I wind up hitting a deer. And my wife is hysterical, right? Because it's traumatic. You hit a deer, what's going to end? The deer disappeared down this embankment. I didn't know what happened. She's like, she just cried hysterically like this. And I'm trying to calm her down. And we pull up to our condo and that was renting there for the film. And Joe comes out, Pesci comes out. He goes, what's the matter? What's the matter? You know, he wants to know what's wrong. And my wife's like, we hit a deer. And I was like, Joe, I tried to stop. And he said, don't worry about it. It happens to everybody. You know, he was really nurturing and wonderful. And he gave my wife a hug. He gave me a hug. He said, I'm going to go up to the thing, meaning the party. And I said, all right, we'll be up there in a minute. He said, don't worry about it. He gets in his car, takes off. It was on a cul-de-sac. He goes around the cul-de-sac with the car and he just hits the brakes like, argh! And you just see the red lights. And then he reverses the wheels, backs up, opens the window and goes, deer killer, you effing deer killer. And he takes back off and goes up the thing. So there's my great Pesci story. One of many. I know I took a long time to get to it.
That's fantastic.
He just set us up and he's a spectacular actor. And my God, My Cousin Vinny is one that, it's the late for dinner movie, man. If it's on, you're going to be late for dinner.
Yeah, I call that a remote drop. You know, you got to drop the remote no matter where you're picking it up. And, you know, this sounds like a very L.A. thing, what I'm about to say is, but I joined a golf club out here, and it's Pesci's, too.
Uh-huh.
I eat there all the time. And I brought my kids one time, and they were, like, starstruck. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, did my wife show them Raging Bull or Goodfellas without letting me know?
Maybe Home Alone.
That's what it was. And they were like, it's the guy from Home Alone. And he goes up to kids who are like that at the club, and he leans into them and he says, I didn't break into your house yet. And
he's great. He's great.
That's one of the greatest things. It's amazing, man. So Cobra Kai, the success of that as well, because as you pointed out, the fact that we're talking contemporary as well. Mm-hmm. What do you think makes it work this time around about contemporizing it, do you think, Ralph? Because you and Billy Zabka are, you know, terrifically matched to this day, you know, and it's so much fun to watch. We had Martin Kove on the show just a few weeks ago to promote the latest season. And by the way, him telling Sly Stallone stories went viral. I'm wondering what you think as you referred to it, special sauce is for that too.
Yeah, I think credit goes to these three writers who created the show, John Hurwitz, Hayden Slosberg, and Josh Heald. They are Karate Kid super fans. They know every piece, every nook, cranny, and fabric from the original films, and they never lose sight of the themes, like I mentioned earlier, that sustained that. And yet they've created a heightened world, a karate soap opera, if you will, that has elements of a superhero story, but yet is grounded in still those same themes. And they have added layers of backstory to characters. Listen, Karate Kid is very black and white, good over evil. Daniel-san, Miyagi, good. Kreese, Johnny Lawrence, bad, right? Cobra Kai, your allegiance can change episode to episode. But even though the intentions are good with almost every character, they're falling forward, skinning their knees, slipping. There's a little bit of good and a little bit of bad in everyone. And I think the secret sauce is not losing sight of the if there's a word called belovedness or what we love about these characters, and then enhancing that and adding other layers and colors to it. And they do a beautiful job of that. And then the OG folks coming back, whether it's Elizabeth Shue or Tamlin Tomita or Yuji Okamoto or Randy Heller, who played my mom, she comes back from the original film. The fans just love it because they're all knocking it out of the park.
No question. And season 5 just released in September, all available on Netflix. Started off on YouTube, and now it's a Netflix staple, Cobra Kai. So I apologize if I wrap up this interview by asking the same question I asked you years ago when you were on the set, but it escapes me if I did. Do you consider The Karate Kid a sports movie, Ralph?
I do. I write to that in the book, in the Waxing On book, because I mean, yes. So if you look at it, is Rocky a sports movie, or is Rocky a love story? Is Karate Kid a father and son story, or is it a sports movie? Is Hoosiers a sports movie? Yeah. Is Field of Dreams a sports movie? I would say so. I don't know. So here's my thing. Karate is not necessarily as popular as baseball, football, you know, even hockey for that matter. If you say you take a movie like Miracle, is Slapshot a sports movie? I guess so. You know, so I think there's I'll say one thing, and this is exactly what I wrote in the book or a piece of this. There are a few characters that I know of, certainly personally, that don't light up a crowd at a baseball game or a hockey game, as if you show the crane kick and you cut to me sitting there with, you know, my pretzel in my hand. It is a roar of like the hometown hero. So in that respect, there's so many times, very few sporting events I could go to when I don't start hearing "You're the Best Around" or "The Glory of Love" and see them teeing up that guy with the handheld camera, that it's usually met with a big roar. So which is really, rewarding and flattering, and lends itself to me saying it must be a sports movie.
The new book, again, Waxing On, The Karate Kid and Me by Ralph Macchio, is available now wherever you get your books. And again, seasons 1 through 5, all streamable on Netflix right now. And then, of course, The Karate Kid, showed it to my kids multiple times. They know it. It's great to watch with your family as well. I look forward to the musical, right? That's next? The musical?
That's next. That's what they're saying. Yeah, okay. Supposedly next year. Robert Mark Heyman, who wrote the original film. It's
unbelievable.
It keeps on rocking.
It's unbelievable. So congrats on that in advance, and we'll have you back on for that too, Ralph.
That's great, man. Thanks. Thanks for the support on the book, and always great to see you, man.
Right back at you. That's Ralph Macchio right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
When we come back, we'll empty the phone banks. What a great, fun conversation. How about Joe Pesci right there?
Effing dear killer.
Dear killer.
That sounds about right.
No, it'll be okay. It'll be fine.
Dear killer.
Empty the phone banks and Mike Evans and the officials. Normally that's pass interference type stuff, but not this time around.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
When you open a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential, the potential to do your own thing and be your own boss and steer your own success and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set, and to help you follow your own passions and reawaken that spirit of adventure and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. 16 body types. You can have a choice of gas or diesel engines. There's thousands of ways to customize a Sprinter van that's capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now is the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. We didn't talk about this yesterday because we were more focused on the actual football. Mike and Mike Evans dropping that ball that started the slide yesterday on Sunday of the Bucks in Carolina. But the video of Mike Evans coming off the field in Carolina and being met in the tunnel by an official coming up to him with a piece of paper and a pen and watching Mike Evans write something down on that piece of paper made everyone think that the official was asking Evans for his autograph. Well, it wasn't an autograph, apparently, that he was asking for. It was a phone number for a golf lesson to give this number to a buddy of his to give Mike Evans a golf lesson?
Yeah, they went to the same college, Texas A&M, and Mike Evans is apparently getting into golf, and this guy was going to offer up a local pro to help teach Mike the game.
Well, the league sent out a statement saying it wasn't an autograph that the official asked for, while saying that this is not going to be, he's been reprimanded, but Jeff Lamberth was the official, and another official, Tripp Sutter, both have been reminded of the importance of avoiding the appearance of impropriety while interacting with players, coaches, and club staff on game day, including during the pregame and postgame time periods, I'll say. But it was up to Mike Evans to talk about it. I mean, this is a statement. And Mike Evans, getting set for Thursday Night Football, was available to the media today and said this.
I wasn't signing my autograph, I'll tell you that. I talked to a lot of officials, and we're all human beings. He's a nice guy. So we're just talking about, golf. That's all we're talking about.
Golf.
There you go.
And I feel for the official being, having his propriety called into question, but it's his fault. The number of Zooms I sit through, and I apologize to my colleagues at the human resources at the NFL, but they will take me off the air if I do not go through the Zoom process and videos that I have to see and make sure I understand about
what's expected of an NFL employee. And some of them, they give you a quiz and you can't believe you're being asked the most basic questions. If they have a Zoom for officials, is it okay for you to hand a piece of paper and a pen to a player and get a phone number in the tunnel after a game? What do you think the answer to that question is? Of course not. I'm sorry. I get upset because, I take it very personal about doing my job and making sure that everybody wants to watch this sport and know everything's on the up and up. And, I feel for this official, Jeff Lamberth. Hey, Jeff, people are going to think that you're on the take for this sort of thing. It's that simple. And you know what? I know he might be a nice guy, but it's just what a waste of energy this is.
I don't think you should. It seems like it's really hurting your soul, man. Well, I don't think you should allow it to crush you.
But it's very upsetting that we all have a role to play in a public forum to make sure that nobody thinks that, you know, Mike Evans, next time this guy, can he call another game for the Bucs this year? No chance. No chance. What if he's on a play and Mike Evans gets interfered with, or he's not interfered with and he catches a ball? What next?
Yeah, Mike just told you what happened. That's not enough to end it?
I hope so.
Okay.
I get upset.
Also, think about the times that this has happened and there wasn't anyone watching.
I'm sure.
It probably happens.
And I'm just glad.
After the game.
I'm glad it's an innocent explanation.
Rich, could you USA for me one time before we go on?
Well, actually, there's a better way to do it. There's a better way. Jeremy in West Virginia. Let's end this show.
Come on, Jeremy. Let's go.
What's up, Jeremy?
Make Rich smile.
How you doing, man? First time, long time.
What's going on?
My wife was earlier in Michigan, 95-98.
Fantastic.
So we love you guys.
Great time to be there. National championship. What do you got on your mind, Jeremy?
Fingers crossed. I was just calling in to yell out, Eberflus!
Okay. Very good.
Well,
you feel better?
Way to hold it.
You feel better?
Is that okay?
No, I mean, do you feel you? I'm asking
about
you, do
bro?
You feel better about it now?
I feel okay. I'm a diehard Eagles fan, so I'm just rooting for everything.
I thought you were a Bears fan.
Anything against Brady?
All right, do you want to scream out Sirianni?
Sirianni!
Very good.
My boy, go Knicks.
Oh, gosh. Thanks for the call, Jeremy. Go Knicks. He's an Eagle fan who's rooting for the Knicks, screaming Eberflus.
I know we're up against it, but Bailey Zappe just told WEEI that he did not know he was going in the game in the fourth drive.
Gracious.
So unclear what the plan was. What are we doing?
Oh, boy. Good to know.
Gosh.
You know what? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
What a mess.
It doesn't matter.
Patricia! Doesn't hit the same.
How about Judge?
Judge!
I might be screaming that during the free agency period.
Con.
Joe Burrow on tomorrow's show. Joe Burrow. We'll see you then.
Joey Burr.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.